Lord, open my lips and my mouth will proclaim your praise. And I really, truly am happy. Happy about everything that God is doing for us. Help us. Happy that invisibly present angels are singing at the memory of Christ's incarnation. Happy for his goodness and for his great mercy. God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly please. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glories stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing Alleluia, Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. You have been endowed from your birth with princely gifts, in eternal splendor. Before the dawn of life on light on earth, I have begotten you. The Lord's revelation to my master. Sit on my right, your foes I will put beneath your feet. The Lord will wield from Zion your scepter of power. Rule in the midst of all your foes, a prince from the day of your birth on the holy mountains. From the womb before the dawn, I begot you. The Lord has sworn an oath you will not change. You are a priest forever, a priest like Melchizedek of old. The master standing at your right hand will shatter kings in the day of his great wrath. He shall drink from the stream by the wayside, and therefore he shall lift up his head. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You've been endowed from your birth with princely gifts, in eternal splendor before the dawn of light on earth. I have begotten you. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end, amen. In honor of Mary's gifts, we pray for the gospel to come into our hearts and enlighten our lives. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. You have been endowed from your birth with princely gifts, in eternal splendor before the dawn of light on earth. I have begotten you. With the Lord is unfailing love, great is his power to save. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Lo, let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleading. If you, O Lord, should mark our guilt, Lord, who would survive? But with you is found forgiveness. For this we revere you. My soul is waiting for the Lord. I count on his word. My soul is longing for the Lord, more than watchmen for daybreak. Let the watchman count on daybreak, and Israel on the Lord, because with the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption. Israel indeed he will redeem from all of its iniquity. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. With the Lord is unfailing love, great is his power to save. In the beginning, before time began, the Word was God. Today he is born, the Savior of the world. Let us give thanks to the Father for having made you worthy to share the lot of the saints in light. He rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Through him we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creatures. In him everything in heaven and on earth was created, things visible and invisible. All were created through him, all were created for him. He is before all else that is. In him everything continues in being. It is he who is head of the body, the church. He who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, so that primacy may be his in everything. It pleased God to make absolute fullness reside in him, and by means of him to reconcile everything in his person, both on earth and in the heavens, making peace through the blood of his cross. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In the beginning, before time began, the Word was God. Today he is born, the Savior of the world. Reading from the first letter of St. John. This is what we proclaim to you, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked upon and our hands have touched. We speak of the word of life. This life became visible. We have seen and bear witness to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life that was present to the Father and has become visible to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim in turn to you, so that you may share life with us. This fellowship of ours is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Responsory prayer. The Word was made man. Alleluia, alleluia. He lived among us. Alleluia, alleluia. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Word was made man. Alleluia. Alleluia. Christ the Lord is born today. Today the Savior has appeared. Earth echoes songs of angel choirs, archangels' joyful praise. Today on earth his friends exalt. Glory to God in the highest. Alleluia. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Christ the Lord is born today. Today the Savior has appeared. Earth echoes songs of angel choirs, archangels joyful praise. Today on earth his friends exalt. Glory to God in the highest. Alleluia. At the birth of Jesus, angels proclaimed peace to the world. We worship him now with joy, and we pray with hearts full of faith. May your birth bring peace to all. Lord, fill your holy people with whatever good they need. Let the mystery of your birth be the source of our peace. You came as chief shepherd and guardian of our lives. Let the Pope and bishops be faithful channels of your many gifts of grace. King from all eternity, you desire to be born within time and to experience the day-to-day life of men and women. Share your gift of unending love with us. Weak people doomed to death, awaited from the beginning of the world, you came only in the fullness of time. Now reveal your presence to those who are still expecting you. You became man and gave new life to our human condition in the grip of death. Now give the fullness of life to all who have died. We pray for Bill, for Henry, for Father Rob, for Icon Ministry, for us to be filled with the graces and gifts of the Holy Spirit, so that we, as icons of Christ and the Church as an icon of the Kingdom of God, can make God present and powerful in our world today. May your birth bring peace to all. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Gathering all of our prayers, spoken and unspoken, let's pray that Lord's Prayer again, this time not out of habit, not with distraction, but for each other and for all of our spoken and unspoken intentions. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Christ the Lord is born today. Today the Savior has appeared. Earth echoes songs of angel choirs, archangels' joyful praise. Today on earth his friends exalt. Glory to God in the highest. Alleluia. God of love, Father of all, the darkness that covered the earth has given way to the bright dawn of your word made flesh. Make us a people of this light. Make us faithful to your word, that we may bring your life to the waiting world. Grant this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord God, we praise you for creating man, and still more for restoring him in Christ. Your Son shared our weakness, may we share his glory, for he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Now we finish the office, but let's read those readings, those vitally important readings. A reading from the book, The Word Was Made Man. Alleluia! He lived among us. Alleluia. From the book of the prophet Isaiah, The Root of Jesse, chapter 11, 1 through 10. Thus says the Lord God, a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a bud shall blossom. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and of understanding, a spirit of counsel and of strength, a spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be the fear of the Lord. For not by appearance shall he decide, nor by hearsay shall he judge. You got that? Not by appearance shall he judge, nor by hearsay shall he decide. But he shall judge the poor with justice, and decide aright for the lands afflicted. He shall strike the ruthless with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his wicked he will slay the and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Justice shall be the band about his waist, and faithfulness a belt upon his hips. Then the wolf shall be a guest of the lamb, and the leopard lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion shall browse together with a little child to guide them. The cow and the bear shall be neighbors. Together their young shall rest. The lion shall eat hay like the oxen. The baby shall play by the cobra's den, and the child lay his hand on the adder's lair. There shall be no harm or ruin on all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be filled with knowledge of the Lord as water covers the sea. On that day the root of Jesse, set up as a signal for the nations, the Gentiles shall seek out, for his dwelling shall be glorious. Responsory prayer. Today, for our sake, the King of Heaven chose to be born of his Virgin Mother, to reclaim lost men for the earth, heavenly kingdom. All the angels cry aloud with joy, for God has come himself to save mankind. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. All the angels cry aloud with joy, for God has come to save mankind. And our preachings from a sermon by St. Pope Leo the Great. Christian, remember your dignity. Dearly beloved, today our Savior is born. Let us rejoice. Sadness should have no place on the birthday of life. The fear of death has been swallowed up. Life brings us joy. with the promise of eternal happiness. No one is shut out from this joy. All share the same reason for rejoicing. Our Lord, victor over sin and death, finding no man free from sin, came to free us all. Let the saint rejoice as he sees the palm of victory at hand. Let the sinner be glad as he receives the offer of forgiveness. Let the pagan take courage as he is summoned to life. In the fullness of time, chosen in the unfathomable depths of God's wisdom, the Son of God chose for himself our common humanity in order to reconcile it with its Creator. He came to overthrow the devil, the origin of death, so that in that very nature by which he had overthrown mankind. And so at the birth of our Lord, the angels sing in joy, glory to God in the highest, and they proclaim peace to his people on earth, as they see the heavenly Jerusalem being built from all the nations of the world. When the angels on high are so exultant at this marvelous work of God's goodness, what joy should it not bring to the lowly hearts of men? Beloved, let us give thanks to God the Father, through his Son, in the Holy Spirit, because in his great love for us he took pity on us, and when we were dead in our sins, he brought us to life with Christ, so that in him we might be a new creation. Let us throw off our old nature and all its ways, and as we have come to birth in Christ, let us renounce the works of the flesh. Christian, remember your dignity, and now that you share in God's own nature, do not return to your sin. Do not return by sin to your former base condition. Bear in mind who is your head and of whose body you are a member. Do not forget that you have been rescued from the power of darkness and brought into the light of God's kingdom. Through the sacrament of baptism, you have become a temple of the Holy Spirit. Do not drive away so great a guest by evil conduct and become again a slave to the devil, for your liberty was bought by the blood of Christ. Responsory prayer. Today, true peace came down to us from heaven. Today, the whole earth was filled with heaven's sweetness. Today, a new day dawns, the day of our redemption, prepared by God from ages past, the beginning of our never-ending gladness. Today, the whole earth was filled with heaven's sweetness. Let's pray for Pope Leo, who has such a heavy burden and such a difficult task for the world and for God's gospel, and to make known the Son, Jesus Christ, in the sacraments of the Church. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Story time. So the readings today remind me of two things: the relationship between the fulfillment of the promises of the Messiah and the Church, and they also remind me of God's goodness, of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So they take us into the story of Israel, a story, I believe it was in the 6th or 7th century BCE, where Prophet Isaiah, he's probably a very well-educated man, scholars tell us, has been taken by God out of his complacency, perhaps at the king's court or in some other lofty kind of comfortable academic or professional religious leadership position, to prophesy this message. So this is the first Isaiah. But anyway, it takes us right into the king and the monarchy, which is at the center of the story of Israel, the Davidic monarchy. And Jesus is this one that's going to be the new and definitive David, just like all the prophets, not just Isaiah, prophesied. So the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit remind us of that link between Jesus and what he did and us. But it would only gradually be revealed, of course, that God is an eternal exchange of love between three divine persons who are, you know, beyond time and space. So in the beginning, when God created, before there was any time, before there was any space, there was an eternal relationship of love and eternal friendship between God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, who have their own kind of dynamic that results in God unfolding the mystery of his being within this Trinity. And they decide to share the riches of their being with angels and also with visible creatures. So God is building kind of a house, or if you want to be a little bit fancy, a temple for Adam and Eve. And then he will entrust this kingdom or this share in his dominion and his freedom to Adam and Eve, who are going to have, especially relevant here is the idea of Adam as the prototypical man and the prototypical human being, to be able to take this role on and help bring God's will about and order all of creation. Anyway, man and woman made a significant blunder because they were coerced by Satan, of course, we know. The story of Eve and how she gave the apple, she kind of coerces Adam into doing this, or perhaps it maybe pushes on or influences would be a better way to put it. And death will be the result of this sin. But what is death? First and foremost, it's not just that they're going to die in some strictly literalist sense. Death, it will result from it later, but the point is that they have lost the principle of life, the glory of the principle of God's life within them, the Holy Spirit's gifts and presence. And God is only going to restore these gifts gradually and much, much later. Life, to many people, I don't think we understand the very dangerous nature of sin in our world today. I deal with a lot of people who are very progressive, and honestly, I worry. I worry that people just don't understand that the reason why God has all of these rules and regulations is not just because God wants to be smarter than any of us or take away our ability to share in his reign over creation, over ourselves, or take away our creativity to live our lives. It's not just because God wants to be like, what do you call those people? People that always want to be in control. He's not always like wanting to clamp down and be in control and have 10,000 and, you know, have 600 rules or something. But life is very complicated. And the journey that we have to take to God, it requires us to do a very specific set of disciplines and ascetical practices. And honestly, I worry that people just do not understand that sin is not just radical evil, like the serial killer or the demon-possessed. I worry that they don't understand that sin involves separating ourselves from the one who created us. And this, unfortunately, too, is part of the story of Israel that will recur again and again as they try to latch on to these different gods or goddesses or the natural values and the things that they think they can get from these gods and goddesses. So ultimately, even David's kingdom will result in separation and schism and falling apart because of sins, not the least of which because of the sins of King David and especially King Solomon in his latter years. So after that, we get to the prophet Isaiah. Again, I think it's like 6th to 9th century or something like that for Isaiah, if I remember school correctly. Or that's the theory nowadays. The theories are usually pretty accurate when it comes to the books of the prophets and their time frames. But yes, I think that that's really beautiful that God has given us these gifts of the Holy Spirit to unite ourselves with him. But God left them with hope that God would again restore this principle of divine life that Pope Leo was talking about. God gave them the law of the 613, gradually created commandments that are written in the Torah to help them navigate through life, to help them understand the complexity of their lives. And they were good things. They were things that helped them pursue the good values at work already in that Mesopotamian culture. But God didn't give us everything at once. He didn't just say, okay, it's time for a do-over, or send God's Holy Spirit upon us immediately, you know? So that's beautiful that there's going to be this prophecy that God will restore everything that Israel, the church of that time, had failed at. God will make up for it. And it's a lot like what we do now, right? In a sense, that picture is like a picture that we see of the Catholic Church today, I think. The church is divided. The church is torn to pieces. The church is broken. But Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And this is the most beautiful moment because God has totally invested himself in the human race. God has a great cosmic plan, a sublime, infinite value that is worth everything that God has in some sense. Not that we need God, not that God is somehow dependent on us for his own happiness, as if we can hold God hostage, because we can't hold God hostage. But God chooses to make himself small and insensitive, to make his total investment of himself live within us, so that in a sense he mourns with us when we mourn. He mourns over the things that cause us not to be able to live up to that infinite divine potential. And this is why he sends the divine word. As we read yesterday, early theologians called it the Logos, or Hippolytus called it yesterday the mind of God, but the most beloved one, into the world, knowing that we would not accept his teaching, knowing, having prophesied for thousands of years through Isaiah and through the prophets, that God's final vindication, that God's salvation would not come through brilliance, through wisdom, through the splendor and magnificence of Solomon and of the triumph of knowledge and human progress, but through the suffering of one who was totally invested in everyone. And not just for the sake of building up his own beliefs about his own goodness, but for the sake of the Father. And so we have the cardinal gifts that Jesus will, in a sense, involve us in his reign, involve us in continuing his mission of building the kingdom or the reign of God by breathing on the apostles, by sending the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And that's really where we pick up on the ecclesial sense, in which we have stuck these seven gifts of the Holy Spirit into everything, you know. They're in the subdeacon ordination liturgy. They're in the deacon ordination liturgy. I think that they're also, they might be in the priest and bishop ordination liturgy. They're central to the confirmation liturgy, where the actual prayer of confirmation asks specifically for the spiritual reality of these seven gifts to be poured out upon us, so that we can also be on mission for Christ. So in a sense, God has made himself dependent on us. And in some sense, that's also tragic, because we can cause others to become blind to God. We can cause others to become blind to the splendor and to the glory of the one who loves us, as some mystics have told us, as some prophets have told us, so much that if something happens to a baby in this world, it's as if, in some sense, God is so invested that it's as if Jesus himself were being attacked. That's how much God has chosen to love each one of us. And Pope Benedict has a very beautiful reflection that I think we should all read later on. But the point is, as I said, we need to learn again the basics of our faith. We need to not be afraid of the things that cause us to feel loneliness and sorrow. And, you know, I think that there's always a certain amount of dying on the mission of Christ. But the mission of Christ responds with greater joy. It doesn't just leave us down in that moment of loneliness, of suffering. Because only saints, as Father Jim likes to say, can save the world. And only saints can restore the church. And only saints can have peace and true wisdom that springs from an authentic understanding of Catholic history, Catholic tradition, and sacred scripture, so that we can negotiate the perilous times that we're in. And, you know, we have more responsibility than ever. Many believe that after 2,000 years of crises, of war, of famine, of times of peace, of times of great saints, of times of great darkness, the time for Christ's coming is no longer that distant from a historical standpoint. And yet, in some sense, God has made himself dependent on us. God depends on us in order to make him present and truly something that's touchable, that's feelable, that's understandable to the people around us, so that he doesn't have to constantly be intervening in the world around us in some miraculous fashion. And yet he remains with us. We have the tools. We have the grace, and it's not just our suffering, but the spiritual gifts that we should have from the Pope and from the bishops. And the spiritual gifts, the true wisdom, the true understanding, the true counsel, the true fortitude, the true knowledge of sacred scripture and tradition, fear of the Lord. I think we got a taste of that when Pope Leo was actually made Bishop of Rome, because for a minute it was as if the world stopped when Pope Francis died. And you saw the power of the people of God, of Israel, of Christ's kingdom in the spiritual Israel. Every eye throughout the world turned toward the church. Millions of people wanted to know more about the Pope's candidates, and tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands went to the funeral of Pope Francis. And for once, Catholics were filled with hope. Catholics fasted, Catholics prayed, Catholics shut off the things that were distracting them. Catholics knew that no matter what, they had to respond to God's call. They had to act because a crisis was upon them. The shepherd was gone. The 2,000-year-old institution no longer had a leader. The organizational structure that has evolved from the foundation of Christ and Peter no longer was intact. And this crisis caused us to become better, caused us to become able not just to imagine a better future, but to truly put one into practice. And I hope that whatever we did during the conclave, whatever we did to seek God, will happen again. So that's my little Christmas proclamation of the gospel in light of our times. If it wasn't any good, I apologize. I know that I'm still a student, but as a catechist and as someone who's been charismatically gifted to do this and has seen results from doing this gospel proclamation, I wanted to push myself out into dying to myself with Christ so that I could do something good and rise with Christ. All right, so have a good rest of your night.